Remember going to movies in the movie theaters?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you ever you go see one of those spy movies, you know?
Oh yeah.
James Bourne or Jason Bond or whoever, whatever your, you know, movies were last.
I see what you're doing.
Running around, being all competent and stuff, and you come out and you kind of
commit some crimes.
What scholars call mimesis.
Okay.
And you're all jacked on watching the action movie, yep. And Milk Duds and Mike and Ikes, and you feel a little bit like a spy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You walk to the bathroom pretty confident.
Yep.
You stand at the urinals, okay. And you know, they got the metal piping and you can see behind, and you feel like a spy.
Explain it more. Continue. All right.
Huh? Yep. Do you ever do that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is that was your whole intro? That's the whole...
Just ask. Do you ever feel like that? Or is it just me? The urinal thing?
The urinal thing.
Because I used to do that. Because they got the metal piping. And it's reflective.
Oh, and you would see yourself and you would think...
You know, I look behind me like a spy would.
Oh.
You know? You got to check. You don't look... I'm not staring at myself. I do that in the mirror.
Okay.
But so you're looking... You see this dude behind me. And you know, like mm-hmm. in the movies, the spies are always like, oh, a little bit too hot to be wearing a, you know,
yeah.
a winter coat. He's wearing a raincoat and it's a, you know, cloudless day. That might just be me.
Go and see those James Bond movies in the afternoon. Interesting. Okay, let's break this down here. I don't know where to start here. I don't want to judge you too harshly, but it's very specific, which leads me to believe that this happens quite a bit.
Well, not all, only spy movies.
Do you ever get to the urinal and it doesn't have the reflective part of the urinal and you can't see behind yourself and you start to panic?
I was attacked.
You weren't attacked.
No, but it could. I mean, that's weird. 99% of all urinal attacks happen in the non-reflexive troughs at sporting stadiums. You know those troughs?
Yeah.
That they have us pee into?
Yeah.
It happens, you know.
Pretty sure that's a Malcolm Gladwell essay about, you know.
That's what I assumed the tipping point was.
I'm more of a watch a... murder show or murder movie, serial killer, one of those type things, and I feel like I'm gonna get murdered fairly soon after watching one of those movies.
What makes you nervous?
Makes me on edge. But a James Bond movie, I never feel like I could ever do anything that, you know, James Bourne can do.
Yeah.
See, I got your joke. But no, I appreciate your candor. And
it doesn't rub off on you. You go out of murder movies feeling like a murder victim, which I guess is better than
feeling. I feel like I might stand and hold myself a little bit differently after I come out of one of those movies. Maybe like let me be active. Let me be cool. I might have to toss this sport coat away. And fight some people, because that's the mindset I'm in. But I'm not worried about people behind me.
Well, you should be. If you're worried about being murdered, you should use that little urinal tip.
Here's a little. This is a side story about the murder thing. I don't really have this so much anymore, but I used to be afraid getting into my car at night, parked on the a street or whatnot. And I was always afraid when a car would drive by that I would be murdered, okay? I feel confident and comfortable telling you this story. Let's go back to college, probably junior year of college. And we were supposed to tell, it was like a writing class and it was some sort of prompt or something where you would tell like a weird, not really a phobia, but maybe a secret, okay?
So I'm writing prompt for everybody to write about.
Well, in your little group. Okay.
Okay, gotcha.
And I shared what I just shared with you. And the response was, it's just, I think it was a group of three. So the two other people were just baffled that I would be fearful of getting murdered every time a car drove by while I was getting into my car or out of my car.
Yeah.
And it kind of, man, it's a big roadblock in sharing those inner feelings and those inner stories.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Those people probably weren't good riders.
Okay.
Because it's a very psychologically rich thing that you just shared. I think way worse than my like pretending to be a spy thing. You worry about everybody's gonna murder you. That's juicy psychological stuff. But that's also rich, fertile soil for a riding mind. For them to sit back in judgment.
Mm. I think I really foresaw the big increase in true crime, and I just didn't realize it. And I was ahead of my time. I would have to imagine with all the true crime podcasts, books, TV shows, that a lot of people just walk around just bit, I'm going to get murdered. And even me talking about this right now, I'm like, am I tempting fate? Am I going to get murdered? Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the temperament of a little old lady.
Yeah.
But that would fascinate me. If I were a writer, you know, that would be that'd be a good like grist good, for the old story mill.
That's a good.
And for these people to sit back in judgment, I bet they're not writers today.
Yeah, I'm not a writer either. So,
well, you're too worried about getting murdered. Just go to the blinds every time a car passes by. And
how long does the James Bond? What would you call it? The temperament of James Bond?
It's not even James. I got a tangent about James Bond later. But that sort of euphoria where you feel
euphoria.
Like...
Euphoria.
Okay. As long as the sugar high from the candy. And then, you know, you're back to your day-to-day life for a good 5 to 10 minutes, though. You know?
Well, let's transition into...
Can I just say...
Go ahead.
I want to like the James Bond movies.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in college, I would go to, this will date me here, go to Hastings and rent the VHSs of the old Sean Connery and Timothy Dalton ones. Be like, I really wanted to like them. I really wanted to.
Can I stop you? Can I stop you real quick?
Why?
I thought what you were saying was going to date you was you mentioning a town in Kansas that no one's ever heard of or been to.
Hastings and the back of the VHS.
Okay, I got it. The VHS is what dated you. Sorry, continue. Sean Connery. Old. I kind of agree with you where you're going with this point.
I don't like them very much. I think they're kind of boring.
Well,
you know what I mean? Some people are like offended by them and says like it's not even that. It's I don't really any of them. Even the ones with Daniel Craig, like like those came out, people like, oh, these are good, these are gritty, these are. It's like, yeah, they kind of aped the Bourne style of movies, but they're still, I don't really. They're kind of just meh for me. I don't like Bond movies that much.
I like them. I like them. I'm not. It's they're fun. Do you not like fun in movies? I mean.
I don't know that they're all that fun.
Okay, they're not fun.
I like fun in movies.
I mean, I like
the Muppets.
Oh, boy.
Favorite James Bond?
I thought you were going to ask me who my favorite Muppet was. My favorite James Bond, probably Daniel Craig. I mean, I don't think about it a lot. I don't... probably. I like Pierce Brosnan. I haven't watched a ton
of like
Bond movies.
I like him as an actor.
Pierce Brosnan?
I like Pierce. He's in... the Thomas Crown Affair remake, I actually kind of like.
That remake was like 25 years ago, but yeah, I know.
Yeah, but movies, they record them on DVD and they stream, so they don't age like milk. It doesn't matter how old a movie is, they're still available to watch. You know what I mean? They don't expire. So
I gotcha.
The fact that it's 25 years old doesn't negate the fact that I enjoy this actor.
Well, you kind of referenced it like it was a new remake. And
to distinguish it from the original Steve McQueen, which is like 50 years old.
Mm.
But again, you can still watch it because they
still watch it. Not on Netflix, though.
I watched Taylor Panama, based on a John le Carré novel, and he's actually in that, and it's actually pretty good.
Funny enough, I have seen that movie. You have to mention me for not seeing movies. I saw that movie.
That was one, maybe I just went through a phase back in college. I watched Taylor Panama and I was actually kind of bored by it. I didn't get it. I rewatched it like within the last year. I was like, oh, this is kind of good. I enjoy it. I got more of what was going on.
Okay.
You know, there's not a lot of running around in karate chops.
It's no. Man. All right.
Wait, I like Pierce Brosnan.
Any more James Bond thoughts?
I like Sean Connery.
Oh my God.
I like Timothy Dalton, but I don't care for the James Bond movies. Just meh. Just, you know.
What? What part of Timothy Dalton non-James Bond is there?
He was at. He's in The Lion in Winter. He's in. We call it Cromwell. He's in stuff. He's in. What's the movie? With Simon Pegg, Hot Fuzz. He's in.
Oh yeah, he is in that.
He's the older, yeah. What? Timothy Dalton. You don't know.
I know. Do you have any more movie thoughts before we get into books, or are we good?
The urinal thing, I think, was
urinal thing
pretty
was
interesting. We'll and I would be embarrassed had you not turned around and shared your "everybody's gonna murder me" thing. I might be a little sheepish about having shared that, but I don't.
If it's a busy theater, a little bit of a line, you turn around, are you going to murder me? No.
That's you. I'm just taking everybody in, looking out like a spy, assessing threats.
Yeah. Assessing threats. I like that. And on that note, welcome to There Will Be Books, a podcast about books and assessing threats. I'm Peter, joined as always by Matt. Whew, that was like a therapy session, Matt. That was like you.
I think
both of us actually got some stuff off our chest.
We covered some good ground.
We did cover some good ground.
A lot of progress.
What are we doing tonight? What are we, what books? It's one of my favorite episodes we do every month, what we're doing tonight.
Because it's easy, because we don't have to read anything.
I know, exactly.
It is. It's fun. I look forward to it.
It's a competition. I hope that you will think of it as a competition, because I view it as a competition. For any new listener out there, we are talking about our monthly book club. And what we do is we each nominate 3 books. Side note, I have 4 this month. Yeah. And because that's usually Matt's tactic, and we debate and kind of discuss our nominations, and we pick one book for the month. Sometimes we add a extra credit book. We've done that before, so don't we break the rules, a couple of bad boys. And then that's basically our agenda for this episode, and it's a lot of fun. Now Matt will say he's not competitive. But before we start recording, he dropped a few nuggets and said he's very confident. He had a theme. 2 things, gets the competitive juices flowing for me. I quickly replied, I have a theme, and I'm also very confident. So we'll see
where this goes.
We'll see where the.
And you'll figure the reason I'm so confident, you'll see. Is part of my.
Are they all?
It's not great, even a strategy.
Are they all just great books?
No. I like a spy. Much like a spy, I assess you. I'm a spy. You actually, I'm the handler. I'm the spy, and you're my asset.
What's going on?
And I psychologically manipulate you into doing what's useful for me.
So I'm the person that is native to the country.
You're the asset. Yeah, you're the handler.
Okay.
You're the Taylor Panama, and I'm Pierce Brosnan.
Okay. Can you give me your best Pierce Bronson?
Less sleek. No, I don't do it. It's just a British.
Please, try.
No, I don't do a Pierce Brosnan.
I'll step away from the microphone. You just go ahead.
It's the same. I don't do a Pierce Brosnan.
You will do it. Come on. Sean Connery?
Sort of. Ooh. Sean Connery, yeah. Like that, I could, I'm not being shy. I just don't have a Pierce. Pierce Brosnan's in the show called The Sun, a very good book by an author.
We read
friend
that.
Of the podcast, sort of, in the fact that we've read him.
Yes.
Right? It hasn't been on.
Any author whose book
Although he's that we've read. Anyway, Pierce Brosnan plays, there's a show on Hulu called The Sun, which is very good, based on the book. And he plays a Texas, like, rancher.
Okay.
From the 1800s. He's very good in that.
I have not read The Sun. We read American Dust.
We should do that.
We should.
One of these days. Anyway, that was a...
You could have nominated it. I don't know. Important. All right, let's get into it. You
go first. You have four.
I have four.
Yeah.
I got to preface my my nominations here by discussing a book that I'm currently reading outside the podcast. It's a new book. And I'm kind of a third of the way through. And it's kind of an unusual book for me. I don't really read in this genre a lot in many ways. The book is called On Animals by Susan Orlean. And it is a collection of essays about animals. It's kind of as basic as it sounds. I've read a couple of the essays so far. One's about chickens. One's about a tiger in New Jersey. But they're all sort of older magazine articles. Okay. And I kind of, when I was reading it, I enjoyed the voice. And I don't know if you like agree with this or can understand what I'm saying here. But, like, the voice of a magazine article where they're kind of diving in depth to kind of like an off the beat topic is very enjoyable. It's a different voice than like a novel or not like a traditional history book. Does that make sense? Does that like,
yeah,
that short, maybe 15 pages, and it kind of just, it can be witty, it can be insightful, it can be, there's a lot of different things you can do with the essay. And this book so far is very entertaining, very interesting book so far. Got me thinking, Matt.
Okay.
What about essay collections? I was like, I don't read essay collections. I think I've only read like two or three, like from start to finish. And some of them I haven't really liked. So with all that being said, my theme, and I'm just going to put this out there because I don't want you to guess, it's going to be essay collections, okay? And I feel like this is kind of in your alley, right?
I like essay collections.
You like essays. You kind of like the political. You like the, you know, ooh, hot topics, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to admit it on this, you know.
I like Gore Vidal. I like Christopher Hitchens a bunch.
Okay.
I think I nominated David Foster Wallace 1 month. We didn't choose it. But yeah, I like essays.
Okay. I'm going to start from sort of the oldest one. And this, I've read some of this author's fiction, but what I'm, and it's kind of a, it's a weird nomination because it's a publisher's collection of essays for this author. And that would be The Essays by George Orwell. Mm-hmm. And this is from the Penguin edition, and it's about 500 pages, just to kind of give you, and it's, you know, from hunting an elephant to the Spanish Civil War to essays about authors. One of them is called In Defense of P.G. Wodehouse is one of the essays. Mm-hmm. There's just a long list of essays in this collection by George Orwell. And the reviews, just kind of looking at it, high praise for him. I know... kind of he's taught for fiction in schools, but I'm intrigued by his nonfiction, I have to say. Mm-hmm. And it's a gap in my reading. We talk about gaps all the time. And so my first nomination would be The Essays of George Orwell. And it's like a Penguin edition. If we pick this book, I'll give you the information about.
Okay. We'd have to.
Yeah.
I have a copy of his essays. It's smaller. It's,
okay.
It's about 500 pages, but it's good. Politics in the English Language is a very good essay. I think I read On Killing an Elephant.
On Killing an Elephant, yeah.
Yeah, about like boarding school. It's good. He's interesting. His nonfiction, I want to delve more. I've read Homage to Catalonia.
Okay, so you've read much more than I have.
But I've always been meaning to get around to Down Out in Paris and London. Keep that Ad Pedastra flying or whatever.
See, I knew you had a wealth of knowledge about essays that I do not have. I kind of wanted you to add some stuff or titles or suggestions. I have my four nominations, but I'm open to expanding the list.
Well, I'm going to make you read some Gore Vidal, just essays, not the whole collections.
Okay.
But I want you to, we'll talk about it later. But
I looked at Gore Vidal as far as essays, and the one that seemed most interesting was like a massive.
Which one?
Brick of a book. It's like from 40 years of his essays.
Oh, United States, I have that. I'll show it to you. That's
But that almost seemed more like a seasonal or like a.
That's what I'm gonna have. That's what I've been revisiting on audio, right? But anyway, there's a couple essays from that I'm gonna have you read. Side note, totally separate. Anyway,
Okay. So that's my first nomination. Okay. And I can already tell you're a little bit nervous because you're thinking. We're gonna have to pick.
What else does he have?
So yeah. All right, Matt, your first nomination.
All right, this is a book. It's a one word title.
One word title.
You're probably gonna giggle.
Okay.
And say that's a girl's name, but just to show how ignorant you are, it's actually a boy's name too. Right. Okay. It can be either or.
Okay.
It's written by a Nobel Prize winning author.
What are you talking about? That was weird as hell. Can I continue? I don't know if you're
in a lot of the times this giggle. Author okay. This author is considered kind of there have been movies made about his books, a lot of cartoons made about his books. This is not a cartoon. It's an actual book. It's not, I don't want you to pick it thinking, oh, this is a cartoon. I'm gonna have a lot of fun watching a cartoon. It's a real book by a real British guy in India. Takes place in India in probably the 1890s. It's not specified. Published in 1901. Spy novel, tale of adventure, bridging the gap between East and West.
I have no idea.
Kim by Rudyard Kipling.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
I've met both a female and male Kim in my life.
Yeah, see, so it's not just a girl.
I'm not gonna giggle. I know I like your prejudice against me, and I was gonna giggle.
It's a spy, and it's not a cartoon like the Jungle Book. It's a book.
I know.
Okay, just so you.
That's a strong selection. That's
it's good. It's
definitely a gap, Kipling.
Me too.
And to be honest with you, I've heard the title of this book. Can you tell me a little bit more about what it's about?
Okay. So the main character, Kim, she's short for Kipling. I don't even know. It's short for something. So in short for something, rather. So it's the son of an Irish soldier who was stationed in India, and then an Irish maid or a cleaning, like, you know, one of the lower status people. In the British Army stationed in India, who's kind of like left in India, like an orphan in India. He can pass as a native. So he's kind of a Westerner raised in Afghanistan, I think. But so he gets kind of drawn into that world, the world of espionage. People figure out he's a native and kind of knows the culture. And he gets drawn into the great game.
Okay.
I think Kipling coined that. This book might have had something to do with coining that term, the great game. Intrigue between the British Empire and the Russian Empire. And our hero, Kim, goes on to be kind of a spy. Goes on this, you know, it's like an esoteric mystical adventure, a spy novel, like all this stuff. It actually sounds pretty good.
It's not what I thought it was about. So that is intriguing.
Half adventure, half spy type. Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm looking right now at a vivid picture of India. with its teeming populations, religions, superstitions, and the life of the bazaars and the road. I like that. I like that a lot. There we go. Strong choice. I didn't see that coming. So, all right. My next nomination. Another very large gap in my reading. This author's fiction and nonfiction. It's a name I'm kind of surprised I didn't read. I might have read maybe like an essay here or there in college, but nothing that I can remember. So I'm going for, I believe it's the first nonfiction work of this author. It is called Slouching Towards Bethlehem by Joan Didion from 1968. From what I gather, a lot of these stories are about kind of California in that tumultuous time in the late 60s. It has some essays, one particular about John Wayne. I think she has like dinner with John Wayne or has some sort of profile with him. Reading some of the reviews on Goodreads, one reviewer I thought he kind of had a very good review where he kind of thought, well, maybe these essays are kind of dated. And he said, with the exception of maybe one, he said that these essays still had relevance today. And that kind of sold me on it to be a nomination. Joan Didion, do you have any, have you read any of her work? I feel like it's a name you often hear, but for me, I just have never read either the fiction or the nonfiction.
Yeah, a few essays here and there. That's a good choice, though. I've always meant to read that collection. Yeah.
Okay. Two for two. I don't know.
It's intriguing. No, you're doing good.
Pick both of them, probably. But I think that time period, too, it's it's probably, I'm curious to see, I think it's, you know, when you're living in a time where there's a lot of upheaval and stuff's happening, I think that can create good art, but also probably hard to have a lot of original thought about the time, maybe. Oh. Does that make sense?
Well, a good essay. She's, from what little I've read of her and other really great essayists, they have a good eye for what's going on, and they make you see it from a different angle, kind of really encapsulate it, just very sharp and articulate about what's actually happening. They can kind of make sense of the chaos or see things that, you know, articulate things that were only kind of rattling around your head. They kind of help you see the world clearer and sharper, I think.
I like it.
What a good essay does.
Okay. Yeah. Agree.
Yeah.
Matt, your second nomination.
Okay. The subtitle to this is A Simple Tale, but once I read you the plot, I think you'll find it anything but simple.
Okay.
It's actually a guy I've been meaning to read, and I can never get around to it just because it seems so stodgy and boring. You got to get around to it.
You're really selling this book here.
This would be the one to get. It's Joseph Conrad, okay. Right? But it's The Secret Agent by Joseph Conrad. It's his little spy novel. And it's officially his first political work after he moved on from all the books about the ships and Heart of Darkness. And have you ever tried to read Nostromo?
No, I have.
It's almost impossible.
I have read this book, I believe.
You've read it? Oh, okay. Well,
but I don't. Hold on.
Well, so it's an unnamed country, but our main character lives in London, and he's an agent for a foreign power. They say probably Russia. Right? Wikipedia does. So it takes place from the perspective of a foreign agent in London who kind of hobnobs with, you know, anarchists and terrorists and all that. I don't know. Sounds good. It seems a good jumping off point for Conrad.
You know, it's probably been 15 plus years since I read it. So I was definitely in college. You ever have these books where you read them and maybe this is like when we were like younger or something, and you don't really understand what's going on, but you just finish it just to say you finished it.
Yeah.
And your thoughts on the book are very simple, and probably you might have missed the point and you might not really think about the book that often.
I have many of those. Yeah.
Yes. I believe The Secret Agent was one of those.
Okay.
Yeah. So if there were underlying historical or, you know, political undertones, you know, tied to the history of certain places, I for sure missed those connections. Okay. So I'm open to revisiting this book.
Okay. Okay.
I'll put that
be way. Like you did with Dune. You're coming at it fresh.
Can I just say, on the subject of Dune, mm-hmm. I kind of stand by my, the more I think about it, the more I didn't love it when we reread it, and I liked it, parts of it, but I don't know. I don't quite understand why it's such a beloved classic.
That's pretty funny. Cause I remember when we chose it, you're like, I read it, but I was confused. I think I'd appreciate it now. And we read it and we talked about it and you're like, yeah, no, I appreciate it now. But now a couple months later, you're back to, I was confused. You're retroactively, you're confused in hindsight. That's pretty funny.
I definitely understood it better.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. I liked it more, but I just didn't have that, you know, some of these books have like this cult following and they love it and they praise it.
I don't get it.
After the second reading, all these months later, I don't know. I don't.
Well, because ultimately it's an allegory about the dangers of giant sandworms. You know, and growing up in Colorado, you haven't had to deal with those types of things.
What
bears and mountain lions.
This is a tangent, but what are your thoughts on Dune? Like, does it reach the levels that?
Well, it's funny. I recorded a whole podcast episode about this, but I enjoyed the book. I thought.
No. My question is,
I haven't seen the new movie.
We read it, and it's kind of that fresh take. But
yeah,
months later. Has your opinion changed, I guess, on the book?
No, I still like it.
Okay, you still like it.
I'm open to reading the sequels later.
Would you ever reread it?
I like Lord of the Rings better. Like, I'm a...
Okay.
And maybe that just has to do with childhood or whatever. But yeah, I'll reread Lord of the Rings probably a couple times.
Okay.
Assuming I was going to say before I die. Assuming I live to 80, I'll probably, reread it. I'm with you. I'm not as big into it, but I like it. I'm excited to see the new movie.
We still need to do Lord of the Rings because I have not read it.
Well, so. Yeah, I think.
But there we go.
Maybe here next year. Yeah, that would be a good one to do.
That would be good.
Totally. Yeah.
Should I do my last two together? Let me do my last two together. So
okay. Wait. I have an honor. Do one,
and then you have an honorable mention.
I have the nomination that's probably going to win, and then I have an honorable mention that I don't think we're going to. I don't really want to. We don't have time to do it now, but I want to keep it in the. I just want to bring it up because it's within my theme. Okay, so yeah, do your two.
So I went to the used bookstore today.
Which one?
Bazaar. Shout out Bazaar Bazaar. A new restaurant got built to them. They kind of took over their parking space.
I saw that. It used to be
not cool. We don't like that shop. You know, if you're ever in Northern Colorado, go to Bazaar Bazaar. Great people. Great bookstore. Great record store too. Anyway, I went into the essay section, and I gotta say, I had a lot of fun looking through there.
Yeah. they got a good nonfiction.
Selection. I had the Orwell. I had the Joan Didion.
Okay.
I wanted to say, let me see what else is there. Okay. And I picked up these two books. I'll do one here. First one, and then I'll let you go. It's a very famous author. Did not know this book existed. And that is Marilynne Robinson. And she wrote a collection of essays called The Death of Adam. And this is I was reading the introduction that she's very serious. And I like that. I like someone who takes kind of different subjects very seriously. Kind of, I also think she's a lot smarter than us. So I think it would do well for us to read someone who is, that's what I gave. That's what I got from the first two pages of the introduction was, but she's very, very intelligent. So I'm inclined
but so is Joe Gideon.
Yes.
Exactly. So, you know, that's not.
It's their essays about, I could go through, you know, what they all are about, but I think this, my selling point is Marilynne Robinson essays.
Is she the Gilead lady?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I haven't read her.
I haven't read her fiction, which is another, I mean, this is another like modern literature gap of mine. Okay. Marilynne Robinson is a huge figure. This is kind of a weird way of starting with her, I think, is starting with her nonfiction instead of her fiction. But I if we don't pick this, I might dabble into it a little bit and see if and report back to you.
Okay.
How about that?
That might be what winds up happening.
But
let me just say this, unfair to her, because I haven't read her. I heard good things about Gillian. She wrote something else that's supposed to be really good.
Homecoming?
Not that one. Something else. Anyway,
not Homecoming, Housekeeping. That's not it? Okay.
But sometimes praise contemporary literature people's essays are actually pretty boring and not good.
Okay.
A good essay will have some teeth, you know? And a lot of contemporary lit fic people, they don't have teeth in their essays. Not, once again, I'm just explaining my hesitancy, not criticizing her, because I don't know anything about her. But
I like this sentence in her introduction. I like.
Okay.
She's talking about the essays, you know, from various over a collection of years. She says they assert in one way or another the prevailing view of things can be assumed to be wrong. And that its opposite, being its image or shadow, can also be assumed to be wrong. So that's where she's coming to like an idea. The prevailing thought is wrong, but its opposite is also wrong. So that leads me to think we're going to be left in the gray area. And I like that. Marilynne Robinson. Mm. The Death of Adam. I don't know how hard this book is to come by either. So
kind of rare. It's a cool cover.
It's a very cool cover. Very, I don't know. When I saw this, I got excited.
Okay. Yeah.
So, all right, Matt, your final nomination, and then we'll do our last two
seconds. Honorable mention-ish.
Honorable mentions.
This book by an author we've both been meaning to read for a while.
By the way, is this your winning nomination that you feel like is going to win?
I mean, probably.
Okay.
I think so. I guess unless you're just not in the mood for it, unless I totally misjudged it.
Okay.
I got excited about it. I might have started it already. It is the title is Four Professions in Ascending Order of Coolness of Said Profession.
Oh, I know what this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Descending. Ascending. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Yeah. John Le Carré. You see my theme? My theme.
Yeah. The intro was.
Spy novels. Really? I had a bunch. I was going to do Spyro Came In From the Cold, but I posted, because when I do these, I put a lot of thought into these episodes. I had 10 books piled up, like all my Spyro. Like, I'm going to, because November seems like a very espionage-y month. I don't know. Something about cold, drizzly. I put 10. I put a picture. What I do, I put a picture like all the 10. I put on Twitter and Instagram. I was like, okay, what? Like, I'm trying to whittle these down to a November book. And almost overwhelming majority, which I mean the three people who responded, but they all said, do Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. And I know you've been circling around Le Carré for a while.
Yeah.
And I have two. And I think because I had the Honorable Schoolboy, I had like a bunch of books we could start with. I want to do, I think this one would be fun.
I think you just cheated. That's a really good pick. It's a really good nomination.
I mean, I think it'd be good. People want it too.
I almost just blindly said, let's do it. But let me do my last one.
No, let's do the one and let's think about it.
All right. Well, yeah, let's take our time. My last one is an author I've read before. I've read him on the internet. He does very good long form. He's kind of tied to sports, but these essays are not, I believe, sports related. The author, and this is like a contemporary essay author, the author is Brian Phillips, and the collection is called Impossible Owls. Brian Phillips wrote for Grantland.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of like a now defunct website. But these are a collection. He kind of delves deep. Some of these are fairly long essays. Some of them are like, I think the first one's almost 60 pages. But he's probably not an author that a lot of people are familiar with, but he's very observant, good style, engaging. So when I saw this, and it's in perfect mint condition for $5, $6, I had to pick it up. Probably not going to pick it, even before you came with Le Carré, but definitely a book that I'm going to be checking out here in the coming months, and kind of curious to see if anybody's actually read this book before and their thoughts on it. Because, like I said, I've read his stories on, he wrote a really good story, I believe, on Wimbledon. This must have been 10 years ago. That was really excellent. So I know I like his writing style, and kind of like, I think in some ways with an essay, you kind of have to like buy into the way their brain works and how they see the world. And not totally, but it helps if,
well,
it's a creative, original thinker.
Yeah.
So my last, my extra one is Impossible Owls by Brian Phillips. Okay. Which I believe came out probably 2 or 3 years ago. So, Matt, your honorable mention.
Well, I had a lot. It was actually pretty fun to sort through this stuff. I have a lot of stuff that didn't, a couple of Charles McCary books that would have been fun.
Okay.
A guy named Eric Ambler, who was big back in the day, wrote some pretty good spy thrillers. I whittled it down to these three. But this one, I mentioned it. I think I mentioned it last year, last November. It's a little too big. It'd be a good seasonal. I want us to do it eventually. Not now. We got too much extra stuff going on. So I just want to bring it up again, keep it in the conversation. But it's called The Devil's Chessboard by David Talbot. It's a nonfiction, it's a true story.
Oh, yes.
Of Kennedy assassination.
I remember you mentioned the book before.
Be fun to do.
It's, I don't know if, I think you do this too, but you have books that you want to read and you kind of, in your head, you bring them up every couple months. And then when you finally get down to actually reading it, it's kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. And I have books that I've thought, I still haven't read it, and I've been doing that for 20 years.
Well, I've been doing that with Le Carré.
I know.
I've actually read most of this. It was one of those back when I worked at the bookshop.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and say it because it's been a while.
Statue of Limitations over?
Yeah. There were no cameras in the back.
Time theft.
I get my work done. I just sit there and read.
Right? Would you get your work done?
Yeah.
Okay.
The place I'm talking about, but I could just sit there and read. And then if you heard somebody like clicking the little beeps on the doors, I had a little rubber band that I'd twirl on my finger while I read, and I'd throw the rubber band in there to mark my spot, shut it, and then have some fake work ready to go. Right. I read half of this at work. Right. So I get the gist, and I was like, okay. And then I asked for it for Christmas. I need to finish this book. That's very good. And then I got it for Christmas. I just haven't got around to finishing it, but I'd start from the beginning and we're going to do this.
We will do it.
Here in a bit, but I just want to keep it.
How long could you go reading in the back?
I read whole books. Yeah. Over the course of.
In a normal day, how much time would you get away with reading?
I carve out a couple hours. Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I like these stories.
I find a way to read on the clock.
There we go. We should promote that.
I'm not really ashamed.
I try to bring a book to work sometimes and I end up not getting as much reading done as I would hope. But anyway. All right. So we have all the nominations. I personally, these were some of my favorite nominations that I did this month.
You had a good slate.
I'm very likely to read, if not all of them, most of these books that I've nominated as hopefully at some point in my life, knock on wood. But you've nominated a book that you knew I would say yes to this book. So,
and it's not a competition. Like if my strategy just involves nominating something you want to read anyway, that's not me like winning or dominant, you know, like, oh, I won. It's, you know, it's the essence of diplomacy.
But right? You know that I want to win. So
we both get our way, but I win.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care about winning.
I'll just say it. Our November book of the month is Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy by John Le Carré. I have a funny backstory. I think I've told you this, and I probably said it on the podcast. I saw that by myself in a Dublin movie theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
About 10 years ago when I was traveling through Europe by myself in a very big, I think it used to hold the premieres for certain movies in Ireland, this movie theater that I went and saw it in. And I saw it. So picture this, very large movie theater, like probably could hold like 1,000 people, I would assume. And there were probably like 50 to 100 people in this theater. So everyone was like spread out and you're watching this spy movie. And it was very, very vivid memory that I had.
Do you remember the movie or were you too worried about getting murdered the whole time?
Come on now. I remember the movie and I'm very looking forward to reading this book.
Nice. I think I told you, my friends were all getting together and they were watching the movie and I opted out because I hadn't read the book. Like, I'm going to read the book before I watch the movie. And so I went to my room and did something else while they all watched the movie. And 10 years later, I'm finally going to be able to watch the movie after.
I say, I know I'm going to hold myself to this. We're going to watch the movie together.
Okay. We're going to do that with Dune.
Yes.
I guess we still could, but it's not going to be streaming here, but.
Man. Anyway.
Okay. No, we'll watch the movie. I'm excited. This looks good.
I'm a little hesitant because I wanted to start the Smiley series and start from the beginning. But I believe this is the.
And see,
which one is this?
It's in the middle. It's the first in a. Yeah. There's an adversary he has, his the counterpart, George Smiley's counterpart in Russian intelligence. Mm-hmm. This is sometimes lumped together with three of those. And this is the first of that little trilogy. It's not the first Smiley novel, but it's the first of Smiley versus whatever the Russian adversary is. But I'm kind of weird about this stuff too, but I like to start with an author's first work and go from there. And so that was the temptation of the spy who came in from the cold, but I'm just trying to realistically, this would be a fun one to dive in.
I believe this is the fifth one, this correctly. Now the first two, A Call for the Dead and A Murder of Quality. I have that in like a paperback. It's a very small book. So those two are very short. And I read A Call for the Dead. Then you got The Spy Who Came In From the Cold. then you have the Looking Glass War, and then you have Taylor Soldier Spy. So I think we'll be fine. Hopefully.
We're not going to miss. This is a good one to jump in on. I'm excited.
It's a little bit too of a gap because the previous one came out in 1965 and then this one came out in 1974. So we'll see. But I'm very much looking forward to
it. Be fun. Good November. Espionage read.
Get the old wool coats out. Pop the collar.
Sit on a park bench.
Buy some chalk. Make some marks on some mailboxes. Some dead drops. You know the deal.
You know the lingo too.
I know. I mean, I love Spy Base. So.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm saying.
I think we'll have fun reading this. But yeah.
The Orwell and the Didion were good nominations.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Either of those. I think we should incorporate just essays.
Just specific, I like that.
We should read the Killing an Elephant one. We should read the John Wayne Didion one, or one of her. You know, I'm going to make you read some Gore Vidal ones. We should just incorporate an essay every now and then. Just discuss. Oh, the one Gore Vidal that I'm going to have you read because you just read The Merry Beard. It's Vidal talking about the 12 Caesars by it's his take on it. And I think having read I, Claudius, and you having read The Merry Beard, it's a perfect little, it's just a little 5-page essay. It's good. I'll show you when we hang out to watch Dune or whatever, I'll show you my copy.
And, I like it.
You know,
but I like the
blending in some essays.
Part of my issue with sometimes short stories is there's strong ones and then but weaker ones. So it could be the same thing with essay collections, but I think
it depends on the author.
Less likely, I guess, maybe, but
a lot of it depends on whether or not the author has something to say. And the good ones, Orwell, Didion, Vidal, they have an interesting worldview and they're cogent and interesting on the topic that they're interested in. And so they make it interesting.
Yeah. I like it. So we're adding Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy to our TBR as for November. Probably our next episode, we'll be discussing Sarah Waters' book, The Little Stranger, which was part of our spooky October. So we read The Turn of the Screw, and then this is sort of our longer novel work. This is Matt's first Sarah Waters book, correct?
Yeah.
And
it'll be my last. She's very, very.
We also have The Red and the Black by Stendhal, which was a sort of mini seasonal book, or just a book we just added to our TBR because we can. It's our podcast. We make the rules. So we have that, and then our current long seasonal book, a longer than a monthly, is Sometimes a Great Notion by Ken Kesey. So those are sort of our four TBR. That's what we're reading right now. You don't have to read all four with us. Pick one. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter. You send us an email. Last episode, we read an email from. If you send us an email, there's probably a 99% chance we'll read it on the episode. Just FYI. If it's nice, if it's,
or
if it's mean, we'll probably read it too. So. But
because it's hate speech.
Yeah. If you have read any of these books, feel free, honestly, to get in contact with us. Let us know. Or if you have suggestions, like in the future, like, hey, you mentioned this book. Maybe this book is something you guys would be interested in. Anything book related or giving suggestions to our TBR, we're all for. So.
Yep. And check out our Patreon.
Patrons.
Football episodes. Got some interesting twists and turns that just happened.
Exactly. Good for you, bad for me. Our Patreons are picking our book that we're going to read for football. So if you are a Patreon, you can going forward, we're going to have different kind of books and themes, I guess, but The Patreons can directly influence what we read. They get a vote in what we read for the month or the season or whatever. So if you're curious, check that out. And you'll get episodes there that are just for the Patreons. So, Matt, have I left anything out of our end of episode recap?
I don't think so. That's everything we got going on.
Yeah.
It's fun, exciting stuff.
It's a bummer that you won this month, but I'm also excited.
Not a competition.
It's not a competition.
It's mean.
Yeah. I'll accept the loss with gratitude, but
magnanimity.
Exactly. Without anything else, Matt, I think we covered it all.
Heads on a swivel. Try not to get murdered at the urinal.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.